It's fall 1985. Thanks to deregulation, no-frills knockoffs of Southwest take to the skies like crows. New carriers start service from coast to coast, but some have trouble staying aloft. About 120 airlines have gone out of business or filed for bankruptcy since the industry was deregulated in 1978. Among those successfully rising above the flock is People Express. It's buying planes cheap like secondhand clothes from bankrupt competitors like Braniff. It's an airline where mostly young employees own stock, share jobs, and manage themselves. If Southwest is the aw shucks airline, People Express seems like an airline run by new age hippies. The adult at the helm of the youthful airline is Donald Burr, a Harvard-educated preppy. And his no-frills airline makes Southwest look posh by comparison. Passengers pay for luggage, even coffee, 50 cents a cup. They pay for their dirt-cheap tickets in flight. The low-cost airline becomes the Greyhound bus of the sky. In fact, its tickets are cheaper than bus fares. Flights are packed. But the CEO of People Express is about to get a wake-up call from an unexpected source. Hi, Mom. What's up?
Well, Thanksgiving is coming up, so I just wanted to let you know I'm visiting your brother this year. I actually just booked my airplane ticket to go see him. I'm flying on American Airlines.
Wait, Mom, you what? You booked a flight on American?
Yes, they've got a great sale right now. It's all over the news. 70% off.
Mom, you can fly free on People Express.
When Burr hangs up, he feels sick. Yeah. His own mother is defecting to American. The airline has been growing explosively, moving from second tier to airports in highly competitive markets. But to survive on such thin margins, planes need to fly nearly full. And things have been getting ugly at airports. People Express customers are angry about chronic delays and cancellations. Some begin calling the airline People Distress. American smells blood and circles People Express like it's a wounded bird. It aims to knock the upstart airline and others like it right out of the sky with low fares and dependable flights. And American has a huge technological edge. Its Sabre reservation system can accurately predict how many seats will be sold on any flight on any given day. Some seats sell for full price, but when Sabre's algorithms detect that seats will go unsold, American can quickly offer discounted fares to fill those spots. They dub the discounts Ultimate Super Savers. American CEO Bob Crandall is moving on another front, too. He's building new hub terminals at airports around the country at breathtaking speed, adding on average one new plane and 1,000 new workers to American every week. In early 1987, Crandall and Southwest Airlines CEO Herb Kelleher are in Washington for an industry conference. Someone asks Kelleher what it's like competing with Crandall.
Well, I'll tell you, being in Dallas right now with what's happening with American, it's not unlike being Finland in the shadow of Russia.
Crandall smirks. He's not looking for a detente with Southwest just yet.
There's one important difference there, Herb. Unlike the Soviets right now, I ain't reducing my arsenal.
All those hubs, all those planes, all important weapons to have when the economy is right side up. But when things go south, Crandall will face a frightening question. Will the things that give the company strength suddenly become a liability?
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. You're listening to the final installment in our Southwest versus American series, Free Love. In our last episode, American built the most powerful hub in the airline industry and bested Braniff in a long fare war, helping to drive one of Southwest's main rivals out of business. Southwest, meanwhile, evolves from a kitschy carrier selling sex appeal to one that has more fun in flight than anyone else. Now, as this business war intensifies, Southwest looks to turn its quirky corporate culture into a long-term strategic advantage. American charts a course to becoming the biggest, smartest carrier in the sky, and they're both headed toward a final resolution in a fight for hometown air rights. It's 8:05 a.m. on August 9, 1987. A royal blue McDonnell Douglas MD-80 is performing a low-altitude flyby of the terminal at Houston's Hobby Airport. The plane circles back, then touches down gently and taxis toward its gate. A flight attendant makes an announcement to the 17 passengers on board.
Ladies and gentlemen, on Transtar Flight 547, welcome to Houston. This is the termination of our flight today and of our airline. Thank you.
Transtar is, or was, a subsidiary of Southwest Airlines. It was formed out of Muse Air, the airline begun by former Southwest CEO Lamar Muse. Kelleher bought Muse Air in 1985. It's been losing $2 million a month. With Transtar weighing on its books, Southwest posts its first money-losing quarter since 1973. Southwest sells most of Transtar's 18 planes to Texas Air. 1,300 Transtar workers lose their jobs. Those who get offered jobs at Southwest are in for a bit of a culture shock. They're shown a Southwest orientation video for new employees.
My name is Herbie Daddy-O. You all know me, I run the show. But without your help, there'd be no love on the ground below or in the air above. You're truly my source of strength and pride. And I sure am glad you're on my side.
Yeah, that's Herb doing a funky little rap. Who else? Southwest is now banking on fun rather than its early days of sex appeal. In the video, flight attendants have ditched hot pants in favor of khaki shorts. Where flights in 1971 had a Las Vegas lounge vibe, today Southwest is more like a backyard barbecue in the air, except with peanuts instead of brisket. By April 1988, Southwest decides to play up fun while it pushes down prices. For years, Southwest kept its fare structure simple so as not to confuse passengers. But now, Southwest bows to the market pressures created by Americans' ultimate super savers. Southwest introduces advanced purchase seats called fun fares.
It looked like another boring month. He was going to rearrange his sock drawer. She thought they'd fix the cat. Then they discovered Southwest Airlines Fun Fares. Soon they were jetting away from just $19 to all sorts of exciting cities, seeing things their mothers had warned them about, eating food they couldn't pronounce, laughing out loud for no apparent reason. Southwest Airlines Fun Fares. If you've got $19, they're available now. If not, never mind. And we'll have fun, fun,
fun. Crandall may have lowered the bar with his high-tech fares, but Southwest has just limboed right under it, offering rock-bottom rates that are half the price of American's lowest fare. It's May 23rd, 1988, and Kelleher demonstrates he's not above a bit of hucksterism. One of the airline's Boeing 737-300s touches down in San Antonio. It's painted like Shamu, the killer whale, a top attraction at SeaWorld, and it's named Shamu One. Southwest has signed a paid promotional partnership with the Marine Mammal Park. The plane taxis to a set of air stairs on a corner of the tarmac. Getting off the plane are five people wearing penguin suits. One is Kelleher. The others are the chairman of SeaWorld of Texas and the mayors of San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas. They stand in their penguin suits in front of the 737, which has just made its inaugural flight. They reinforce its image as the carrier that doesn't take itself too seriously. No kidding. The next day, Bob Crandall, the gruff Rhode Island-born CEO of American, calls Kelleher.
I saw your whale, Herb. Nice gimmick. But I do have one question for you. What are you going to do with all the whale crap?
Well, Bob, I'm going to turn it into chocolate mousse and spoon feed it to all you damn Yankees in Rhode Island.
A few days later, a package arrives at Crandall's office. It's a 3-foot-wide plastic tub filled with chocolate mousse. In the middle of the tub, there's a spoon in the shape of Shamu the whale. Crandall laughs and calls in his staff to eat up Kelleher's offering. He thinks to himself, this crazy Herb guy isn't half bad. At the moment, Crandall has plenty to smile about. American is poised to become the number one air carrier in the country, besting United in total domestic market share. It also has the biggest fleet and the most employees of any airline, 80,000 workers. It's late in 1989, and Colleen Barrett, the corporate secretary of Southwest and keeper of Kelleher's schedule, he's notoriously disorganized, is in her office with a team of her direct reports. They're writing responses to letters from customers, one part of Barrett's work to reinforce the company's friendly culture. Today, a couple of hundred letters are stacked up on Barrett's desk. She's a chain smoker, like her boss, and she takes a long drag on a Barclay while reading one of the letters.
Oh my gosh, will you look at this one? This is from a customer in Phoenix. She was on a plane recently and says this gray-haired man got up from his seat and asked the flight attendant if he could help her pass out peanuts. She's talking about Herb. She has no idea. Look, she writes, I just think it is so nice that Southwest Airlines is giving work opportunities to elderly people.
American may have its size and algorithms, but Southwest's corporate culture has definitely created something unique. As the decade rolls on, Southwest's competitors also try to give that loving feeling to passengers. And that would be all well and good if it weren't for the turbulence in the new decade ahead. America awakes to the drumbeats of war, sending oil and gas prices up and markets down. All airlines will feel the downdraft, but Southwest will prove to be an astonishing exception.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind.
It's January 16th, 1991. The United States has begun an aerial bombardment of Iraq.
5 months ago, Saddam Hussein started this cruel war against Kuwait. Tonight, the battle has been joined.
The Gulf War has already rattled markets and sent the price of crude oil skyrocketing. A global recession is underway. But Southwest's loyal employees come to the company's rescue, agreeing to have money withdrawn from their paychecks to help the company cover rising fuel costs. The gesture's big, but its impact on the bottom line is not. Still, Southwest's leadership manages by planning for two major economic shocks per decade. When this one arrives, they've already inked long-term contracts to buy fuel at locked-in prices. Prices lower than those found during the Gulf War. That helps Southwest become the only big airline that makes money in these years. For most other major airlines, the economic crisis is financially crushing. The biggest carriers have followed American Airlines' lead in recent years by investing in new planes, hiring new workers, and building new hub terminals at airports around the country. Now, with all that new capacity available, planes are flying empty. Red ink starts spilling across the big carriers' balance sheets, and bad blood rises among them. On June 10, 1992, Bob Crandall appears before a Senate committee. He's been summoned to respond to accusations that he's been trying to put competitors out of business by pricing his airline's fares below its costs. That same day, shareholders of Continental and American West filed suit against American, making the same accusations. Crandall, who has been called the bully of the skies and the Attila the Hun of airlines, is relishing the coming confrontation as cameras roll. In a bit of showmanship, he tells the Senate committee that if it really wants to make a difference, it should reform the bankruptcy laws so that air carriers in Chapter 11 can't break union contracts. The law's flexibility currently allows broke airlines to use bankruptcy court to reduce their operating costs and beat competitors' prices.
Senators, the problem with America West is that its management has failed. Some of these airlines are wheeler dealers who loaded the balance sheet with debt. You allow the market to finish the painful process of eliminating surplus capacity. Don't prop bad operators up in bankruptcy courts where they're free to change their cost structures. That'll only bankrupt all of us. And this business is already intensely, vigorously, bitterly, savagely competitive.
Nearly a year later, in April of 1993, Crandall boards an American Airlines flight from DFW to San Jose, California. He's heading out to address the corporate troops amid an intense fare war going on in California between Southwest and United Airlines. United has launched a low-cost airline within an airline called Shuttle by United, much like Southwest. And now, the battle between Shuttle and Southwest is drawing blood at American. When Crandall reaches the conference hall in San Jose, the troops are waiting, but they are completely unprepared for the bomb he's about to drop.
Our losses in San Jose have been significant. They amount to $50 million annually, and more competition is on the way. Southwest Airlines announced it will substantially expand service in California, more specifically, in San Jose.
Then, he delivers the kicker.
So, with regret, I inform you that we are closing our hub in San Jose, and we'll begin an immediate drawdown of flights and service here.
Southwest is coming, and Attila the Hun is in full retreat. June 3rd, 1993, is a beautiful, breezy 73-degree day in Washington, D.C. But a commission created by Congress is locked away inside the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. Wisecrackin' Kelleher is there, being his usual affable self, turning around in his seat to glad hand folks at the hearing.
Will the commission please come to order, including Mr. Kelleher?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
He's appearing before a committee looking for solutions to the ongoing airline industry crisis. Airlines have been dropping from the sky like crazy. From 1989 to 1993, airlines have lost a collective $13 billion. That wipes out every dollar airlines have made since the Wright brothers first took off from Kitty Hawk in 1903. The commission is considering everything from bankruptcy reform to outright re-regulation of the industry. Its members include consultants, travel agents, labor officials, ex-congressmen, and exactly one airline executive, Herb Kelleher. But for today's hearings, the CEOs of almost every other major airline have come to testify. One commissioner directs a pointed question at the CEOs.
Now, we've had plenty of bankruptcies since deregulation. Braniff, America West, Continental, Frontier, Eastern. We've also recently seen the emergence of multiple Southwest clones like ValueJet and Kiwi International, and more apparently are on their way. And then there's Southwest, which has a 20-year track record of success. So my question to the four of you is, why can't you be more like Herb?
Herb grins like a madman. Bob Crandall, sitting far across the room from Kelleher, speaks up.
Members of the commission and his most excellent Kelleher, Southwest has the world's finest peanuts, but they have no other food costs. Now, Herb has done a splendid job, but to get where he is, American would have to go back and tear our company up in some very significant ways. In order to match his prices, we'd have to dramatically roll back compensation and benefits.
The committee doesn't call for re-regulation, but it does tell CEOs to save themselves, even if it means tearing up the business models. It seems that one thing is clear to everyone. Southwest's model of low fares and efficient, friendly service now defines the U.S. airline industry. Actually, all kinds of companies are looking to Southwest for inspiration. It's 1996, and the Macarena is a hit song and dance sensation. At Southwest's Love Field headquarters, dozens of executives from other companies are required to do the dance, too. Southwest's quirky kinetic culture has become so legendary that the company now puts on Southwest Days several times a year. Executives from all kinds of industries pay $100 a head to come to Love Field for day-long sessions that boil down to this. Have fun and be nice, especially to employees. As with many of Southwest's airline competitors, though, not everyone seems to grasp that simple message. At the end of today's session, Kelleher walks up to an executive from Austria to thank him for attending.
Great having you here today. Will you bring anything you learned back to your company?
The executive answers in a Swiss-German accent.
Yeah, we are going to tell everybody they have to do the Macarena every day. Well, actually, I think you might have missed the point.
Well, he might have. But others have gotten the Southwest message loud and clear. Today, both American and Southwest still sail the skies. Their fierce competition has both toughened and changed them. Southwest has been profitable every year since 1973, and its business model is mimicked across the globe. American fought several bruising union revolts before going bankrupt. It merged with U.S. Airways in 2013. Financially, they're both doing quite well, thank you. American has $43 billion in annual revenues. Southwest has $21 billion. It's October 13th, 2014. At Love Field, employees are celebrating Southwest's two-year PR battle that ended with local politicians brokering a compromise that frees Southwest from the Wright Amendment. That's the law that kept the Texas airline from flying freely beyond Texas and its contiguous states. The Kilgore Rangerettes, a dance team known for the cowboy hats, white boots, and high kicks, are performing to a rendition of Gary DiCarlo's song. They're dressed in outfits reminiscent of the 1971 orange hot pants and go-go boots hostess look. Sir Richard Branson of Virgin America is in the house, and a band called the Why Nots plays. Outside the terminal, a banner reads, "Goodbye, Wright Amendment. Hello, America." Southwest fought hard and long to fly out of Love Field instead of DFW, and it struggled almost as long to be able to fly from Love Field to anywhere in America like other airlines. Now, for the first time in its history, Southwest Airlines is finally free to move about the country. Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. From Wondery, this is Business Wars. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm your host, David Brown. Joseph Guinto wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Jenny Lauer is our producer. Sound designed by Bay Area Sound. Our executive producer is Marshall Louie, created by Hernan Lopez. For Wondery.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.